Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, well, I just got the docs up just in time. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. Although, obviously, I should just know what to say, but I don't. If I didn't have this script up, I still wouldn't know the intro off by heart. Because you don't, if you don't learn it.
And also, it's the fear of, I haven't got it up, therefore, I'm going to forget it.
And even if it was slightly wrong, it would sound jarred. What if I got our names in the wrong order? An in-depth look at the Archers with me, Cooper, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy B. Freeman, Jeff Thomas, and Harriet Carmichael. Now, before we make a start on your email...
Cooper Carmichael sounds good. Would you like to adopt him?
Well, I've got...
If I had a consultant called Mrs. Cooper Carmichael, I'd be extremely comforted and happy.
Well, you could put Cooper in your will and I'll have him.
Okay.
Because we do love dogs. Okay. If he's a really good... Because we dog sat last
week. He's not a really good dog.
No, we don't want him.
No. Okay.
Is he just quiet and sweet?
No. In no
is
way.
He basically the equivalent of Rex?
This is like Rex on a motorbike is what it's like.
Him.
Yeah.
And don't leave him to me. Leave him to... Well, to Jeff. But if not to Jeff, then to one of our young listeners, Lucy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
James Everett. He can have him.
Yes. Well, I was just thinking actually any of the Everetts, any of the younger ones.
Okay.
There's loads of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was written by someone who was definitely off their box.
Yes.
Any students tuning in will think they've hit a stoner gold mine. Harassment wanted to know where flies lived. Freddie said he wanted to be a pig. Jim's glasses end up on a dog. And Ardell didn't trust Winnie the Pooh as he doesn't wear trousers.
Oh, God.
Lower Loxley Late May Fest happened in June. Or possibly Lake Fest. I was very confused. Freddie organised it, and because he's basically three, it involved cheese, pizza and fruit juice. Throw in a bit of sick, and it was basically a toddler's birthday party. There were also ferrets, which should never appear anywhere, ever, never mind next to a pizza van, because they honk to high heaven. Eddie's ferrety fun sounded like the most pervy attraction ever, which is possibly what attracted Brian, who wandered around the site telling a total stranger he just wanted to be left on his own. That was before they found the knitted ferrets going commando. See what I mean? Actually, last Wednesday after Epiphany Fest, or whatever it was called, actually made me quite happy, as I love a village anything fest. The lovely smell of crushed grass and canvas. Stallholders dashing about borrowing other people's blue tack as their sign's fallen down. Panting Labradors and paying £9 for a lukewarm burger. Smashing. We had the compulsory cricket, with Tracy's Tigers winning despite having been interfered with, whereas Tom's Tiddlers were a shit show. Kenton had discovered a new setting on his Hammond DX7 and kept playing it through his speaker system and making Jimus jump. Jimus, meanwhile, had lost his glasses and was scoring like Stevie Wonder and being taken advantage of by both Tom's Tiddlers and Tracy. The hunt for the glasses became like the sodding Iliad. Just go to Boots and get some more. They might make you look like Sir Robin Day, but what do you want for £15? Oliver kept describing Tracy's hen night as basic. Basic? As in basic bitch. What's next? He's going to start describing Elizabeth as Leng and moaning about Eddie's ferrets being moist. Is he doing ute on Duolingo? He was having a good week and sounded perkier than he had for ages until he got into a bit of bother with Ardell for allowing 14 screaming pissed women into an unfinished hotel months before its official opening. Chill, man, he said to Ardell. Hotel's looking mint, innit? Over at Bridge Farm, Helen was giving the window a good clean so that Rob could see her clearly and give her a lovely wave. Yoo-hoo, Helen! Someone's dropped the Dairy Queens in the cart and Harriet Handjob, or whatever she was called, came busying about saying, what do you normally do when you get here? Susan thought for a moment. Have a bitch about Ellen and read the paper? They'd had a bad review and Pat said there are bad-tempered, awkward people out there. But to be fair, there are bad-tempered, awkward people at Bridge Farm. Once again, when they're all supposed to be pulling together, Tony's shouting at everyone, Helen's going crackers, Tom's threatening to move to Evesham and Lee's in tears. It's emotional dysregulation, a go-go. Tracy, meanwhile, had moved on from the cricket and was now taking Jazza's mind off his foot, she said. She was doing this by forcing him to have breakfast outside, which was both brave and unpleasant, as it is still bloody freezing in the mornings at the moment, and also unpleasant, as there were flies. Yeah. What does he have for breakfast? Offal? He probably does, actually, judging by his suggestions for the wedding feast. Over at Home Farm, / Borchester Land, / whatever it is now, Adam rang Brian for a little chatty chat. Brian was still profoundly uninterested, and it's getting faintly embarrassing now, the way his children are trotting around the village after him saying, Daddy, Daddy, can you play with us, Daddy? Anyway, it got a bit more cheering when the bill for the nudist drill came to light. Hooray. Despite having said, yes, go ahead, waz whatever you want up the wall, Stella, I'm far too sad to deal with it. Adam backed away at high speed from the decision in the hope that Daddy would make him head prefect instead of Stella. Once again, it was Ian who emerged, covered in flour from the kitchen, to point out to Adam that he absolutely had said, yep, off you pop, Stella. But sadly, Brian, keen to keep it in the family, decided to use Adam's utter lack of spine and moral fibre to boot Stella out. Boo. And what did Adam do? Admit the truth? No, he did absolutely F all, apart from leap into Brian's lap shouting, Daddy! Hello, constructive dismissal. How can we help you? The end.
Boo!
Can you believe I called tosser.
I called Adam adorable last week.
You said we were getting invested in his journey, and now I hope his journey is a one-way journey off a very short pier.
Although I wonder if, because it was like a panto, wasn't it? Brian going, "You're dismissed." It wasn't very realistic. I mean, when Stella was like, "This is ridiculous."
This is ridiculous. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But I wonder, this is what I'm really hoping. I've got a tiny bit of faith left in Adam, and he might go, Brian, that's ridiculous. Of course she's not sacked. You can't do that. Okay, I own up. No?
I think we've seen over recent
I thought he changed.
That sometimes when people make an apology, it's actually more about when they are caught bang to rights. They don't admit it and go gracefully. They blame everybody else and demand everyone's goodwill.
I mean, to be fair to
Adam.
So brave.
But anyway, yes.
He didn't say, get the drill. He did say, I remember he did. It was quite vague.
He said, you're in charge. He said, you're in charge. We can't deal with this. You make the decisions that you think are right.
So that's what she did. She made the right decision for the farm because she's the farm manager.
And what was the point?
And where in her contract does it say if you're spending over £45,000, you have to have the say-so of the owner?
Well, normally there is that written into contracts.
Oh, well.
To prevent fraud.
She didn't bring a clause up, though, did she?
No, so that you say you have to be a dual signatory if it's over a certain amount. But as it was only a deposit and it was and it was 15 grand, maybe that wouldn't have come into play. Right. So if it's over like 40 grand, you can't buy it by yourself.
But also, Brian just has to be, it's annoying that he's not mature enough to go, I can 100% trust you, that's why I hired you.
Yeah.
You know, the farm's in your best interests as well as mine. But of course it couldn't do that because it's Brian and Adam. But I'm going to be, I don't know how this is going to play out, do you? Because I don't think it's going to be as simple as she leaves and Adam takes over and then they all fall out again.
If you cannot be fired like that, it is constructive dismissal because they're putting her in a situation where it's her word against theirs and she knows she's right and she'd just go for constructive dismissal and she'd win.
Oh, right.
And she'd get loads of money off them.
Right. Okay.
What we need is for Adam to sort of get a pair of ovaries, don't we, and sort of say, yep, no, that was me, I'm sorry. And also, it's because he suddenly, we thought it was suspicious. Well, I thought it was suspicious. You were all kind of
I was like, Pollyanna, don't about worry, it, guys. It's going to be great. Yeah, we're all friends here.
I was thinking, he's like a lost soul. He just leaps on everything as the same. This is it. This is what I really want to do. No, this is it. This is what I really want to do.
Well, Adam seeded that idea, though, didn't he? It was Adam who said, just don't own up to it.
Mm.
Who implied that anyway, didn't he, by saying...
Ian, you mean?
Oh, sorry. Ian.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I get them muddled up as well. Their names are too similar. It's two vowels. It's
it is. Ian. Ian said, with Flowery, you're right, he's always coming. He's basically turned into Miles Chubb off that quick.
Yes, he just comes stomping out of the kitchen.
In and out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the pizza van.
Yeah.
He's always got a tea towel over his shoulder. But he implied that Adam shouldn't own up to what he did because Ian knows that Adam wants to take over Home Farm again.
Right. Oh, I missed that bit. Well, I didn't sort of pick up that.
Yeah. That was like a major bit because when Adam was... Ian said, but you spoke to Stella about it. So, you know, Brian is going to think that you gave Stella the all clear. And Adam said, but I definitely didn't give her the all clear. I just said, you make the... I don't know what Adam justified himself saying. And then Ian said, well, just be careful what you say to Brian, because remember, you're loving your time at Home Farm and you've decided this is sort of what you want to do.
I completely didn't pick on...
Major bit of info.
The thing is, I mean, saying to somebody, you are in charge, you make the decisions that are best for Home Farm, that is giving them the green light.
Yeah, of course it is. And also, poor... Stella, like, was running herself ragged trying to get somebody to sign it off. And as she was saying, there's a deadline here. If I don't sign on the dotted line now, we have lost the chance.
Yeah.
I mean, if she'd have been me, because I'm the sort of person that would definitely play it safe and never do anything unless someone told me to, I would have just gone, okay, I can't be asked. I'll just use a plough.
Yeah. But she and some horses. Or a spade. I'll just dig it. It's fine.
But they employed her because she's a brave, ambitious farmer.
Also, I didn't understand what was the point of him having that very, very earnest and serious chat with Justin about, do you trust Stella? He said, yes, completely. Don't let her go. And Ryan says,
do I trust you, Justin?
Righto goes off and lets her go immediately. Yeah.
No, because Justin said, what was his phrase about her? She keeps herself to herself or she plays her cards close to her chest. Something like that. And that's when Brian went, oh, does she now?
Mm.
Well, that means dismissal, as far as I'm concerned.
In my experience, that is what is said about women who work in a male-dominated field and don't play the silly girly game.
Do you think maybe actually Stella will take them to court for sexism or something?
I think she'll take them to court, or she'll threaten to. And then
it was quite...
And then Adam will have to sort of stop being a wimp and just go...
Do you know what, Lucy?
Do you remember the good old days when people just used to go, sorry... Yes, I shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake.
Adam could easily have said, Brian, it was a really difficult time. We were grieving for Mum. Everyone was confused. Stella was desperately trying to get a decision out of us. Mm. And I probably gave her the impression... He could have just said the truth. I'm so sorry because I didn't realise I'd given permission, but I was so vague. And then just tell the truth. And then Brian just calms down. Adam said last week... This drill will probably be great. Brian will come to terms with it. And and in a way, the decision's done now. So just get on with it, you twats. If the money's there, which clearly... She's not going to have spent the money without looking at the accounts and wondering if the farm can afford it or
And
not.
Also, she put it all in that document, didn't she, that nobody read?
Nobody read. And that's why she's totally in the right.
Yeah. And she'd said, look, it pays... It makes financial sense. It's not, you know, a big gamble. It's, it is going to earn its money back.
I believe in Adam, Lucy.
Do you still? I think he was like a rabbit in headlights in that scene. He was like, oh, Daddy's cross.
No,
shit.
But I think this might be the climax of his journey. The climax of him finally...
I don't want to think about his climax. Can you stop saying that?
It involves flour and tea towels.
I was going to say, maybe it's the only time he sounds cheerful. He probably doesn't.
But he was so cheerful last week. And I think if he stands up for himself and for Stella against Bran, then Stella loves calling him Bran, doesn't she? Then,
well, because Jenny used to call him
yes she did
Brian, yeah. and Bran. so now there's Bran. A Bran vacuum which she has filled.
That's because Stella learned the name from Jenny. Jenny,
what's he called? Bran. Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be the making of Adam, this, and he's gonna support Stella ultimately.
You are so optimistic.
I believe in him, because I don't think we would have had all last week's. I don't understand why we would have had sort of the insight into Adam's emotional, you know, whatever emotional bits and bobs he's got. But a few of them were
few and far between,
he
I
did
think.
He did some laughing, Lucy. I've got to hold on to something. Come on. Also, I was like, Stella came back from a really lovely wedding in Italy. And Adam was like, how was Italy? And she was like, yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, I saw my family and friends. And that was it.
Yeah.
If I was Adam, I was like, did you go to Florence?
What was the food like? Yeah, where did you stay?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you meet anyone wonderful? Did you take a photo of the Tower of Pisa with you holding it up?
Pictures, pictures. I need to see pictures. I love your dress. That's lovely.
Thanks, Lucy. I'm not wearing one today.
Do you know what I'm wearing? I'm wearing my pyjamas.
Good. Well, it is only 9 a.m.
I know, yes. I overslept because I keep waking up with the flipping dawn chorus.
Oh, you're like Kirsty.
I think, well, accidentally, she does it on purpose, a silly move.
Is it because you're doing 30 days of nature?
Yes, I swear to God, every bird in Essex is sat on my windowsill screaming.
God, it must be crowded. All right, Lucy.
Yeah.
Every bird in Essex here.
Gemma right, Collins. That other one. Carly thingy. Yeah, they're all there.
What a great sight to wake up to.
I'm going to have to reinforce my windowsills, I'll tell you that much.
And then you can go and have that. I swear that Tracy and Jasmine must have been having their breakfast by the bins.
I know.
If there were so many flies.
You get flies in the morning in August.
In August.
When
it's hot and sticky.
Yes, when it hasn't rained for 4 weeks and the bins haven't been emptied and, you know.
It's freezing, as yeah. You said at the moment.
And it's grey. I'm looking out at it. The trees are thrashing yeah. around and it's grey.
The sun is popping out about 3 p.m, isn't it?
Yes, just to go, hiya! I know it's summer. I will be back, honest. But just for now, I've got some stuff to do, so I'll be, yeah.
So keep having hot porridge for the morning. Yeah.
Don't put your winter clothes away. You're going to need them. All right. See you later.
What was that trippy conversation about?
Oh, my God. We have had so many comments about that.
That was so weird.
I don't know what Nick Warburton is.
What? Do you think it is because Harrison's on drugs and, or it's linked to his conversion, or do you think?
They were all at it.
Yeah, it was quite.
It was Ardil saying, "I don't trust Winnie the Pooh because he doesn't wear trousers."
The Ardil and see right, Ardil, when he was telling Oliver off, I totally believed in him.
Mm.
That's his comfort zone.
Yeah.
When he's wandering around with Brian trying to bond over grieving,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
When he said he was reading that novel, I thought, "Give over, Ruel."
The Graham Greene.
No, you're not. You're reading The Seven Habits of Successful People, you little tit. That's what you're doing.
But he probably likes that Winnie the Pooh. What's that thing, the Tao one? You know,
The Tao of Pooh.
Yeah.
I reckon Ardil would think that Winnie the Pooh was the American one, not the proper one.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think because Ardil's very proper, he would get wisdom from Pooh.
No, wisdom from Pooh.
Wisdom from Pooh. Pooh and...
Maybe, well, maybe Jazza and Tracy are getting wisdom from Pooh. That's why there's all the flies everywhere. Do you want to do the emails? Because they cover a lot of what we're going to be talking about.
Definitely. Do they cover Harriet Highway? That was her name.
Harriet Handjob, I think you'll find. Terry White, along with lots of other people, was despairing, I think, about our maths last week.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. It was a Friday night, wasn't it? Or a Saturday
night? It was a Saturday morning. Saturday,
no,
I can't remember.
It must have been the evening, Lucy, when we were tired.
Yeah.
I feel, I'm just so glad my dad doesn't listen to this. I think he'd disown me.
Anyway, Terry White said, there are two methods to work it out. The first is the Carmichael super scientific calculation, which meant that I would end up walking 96.56 kilometres. And the second, which is he describes as the paid attention in primary school method, is a mile in 20 minutes is 3 miles an hour. 60 divided by 3 is 20, so 20 hours. Consequently, the Carmichael method must be more accurate since it includes decibels, he says. However, neither method makes any allowance for the number of lampposts, trees and gates, which Cooper will need to sniff.
So what is it then?
It is it will take me 20 hours.
But a bit more, maybe.
But a bit more, maybe.
Well, because now I remember there was dust. Do you remember dust? D over S.
It's STD, isn't it? Speed
STD. Our school weren't that foolish. They did it as dust.
Okay.
Distance over speed times time.
Yeah. Don't start again, or people will start telling us that that's wrong as well.
No, because I still couldn't do it because it's still hard.
Yeah.
Still
and
hard.
It's not our thing, frankly,
it's not
is
our
it?
Thing. Maths. The arches is our thing.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be good at the arches. And not everybody can be good at measuring things. In math.
Jeff just rolled his eyes and sighed heavily. He tried to tell me that something divided by something the other day was bigger than the thing it was when it started. And I said, oh, don't be ridiculous. And then it was a naught point something. And then he tried to explain it to me. And then I sort of started crying and wandered off because...
Also, it's very hard to do maths on the spot.
Yes.
That's my...
Especially if you are not that way inclined.
No, if I'd had a piece of paper and a 60-second stopwatch, I might have been able to work it out, Lucy.
Well, I think if I'd had a piece of paper and the rest of time, I still wouldn't have been able to work it out. I was never happier than when I never had to do maths again.
I do have to do maths again because my kids are doing it. Poor things. And if they ask me, I get so confused. It's really hard now. Maths is much harder than it used to be.
Yes, it is.
Definitely.
They've made it difficulter. There are more numbers and...
More fractions. Way more fractions than they used to be, Lucy. Oh, my God. Fractions with like two double numbers on them. I know.
Nonsense.
Unbelievable.
Who needs that?
Also, I thought you'd done your walk, didn't I?
Yeah, she thought I'd walked 60 miles yesterday.
I was like, yay, well done, Lucy, you've done it.
Yeah, I'm ringing from Birmingham. Can you come and get me? I'm doing it in stages. Stages. Oh, that reminds me. I need to say thank you to many kind people, many more kind people, some of whom are anonymous, so I cannot say.
That's so nice.
Thank you to them. But yes, the people that have, I have craftily found their names, Carol Johnson and Ruth, who both of whom sponsored me. So thank you.
Thank you.
You are very kind.
And also to all the other listeners who are doing the walk. The walk for Refuge seems to be huge.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise.
Refuge is such a good charity.
Yeah.
It really is.
Amazing. Especially now. Well, always, obviously.
But. Yeah. But and it does have resonance, I think, with Archer's people because of Helen, because there are so many people who did not escape, who were in her situation and could not go anywhere.
Well, and then lockdown, which made things a whole lot worse, didn't it?
God. But anyway, this is about
30 days nature.
This is about Rob, actually, from Vicky Cole, who says... you played the clip of Rob arriving and talking to Usha about Blossom Hill Cottage and said how nice he sounded, but it gave me absolute chills knowing what happened afterwards when he said he was pleased how isolated it was and, quote, no one will hear any primal scream, quote. Yes, I did. Well, I did notice
that. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
But I didn't know how early they'd started foreshadowing. Yeah. But
wow. That's amazing.
Also, was it Clive who burnt the barn at Brookfield, or was there another dodgy horror bin? I can't remember. It was Clive. Yes.
Did you know 30 Days Wild is a real thing?
Yeah. Well, it's always a real thing.
Trust.
Because they get it straight off the BBC press office, don't they?
Oh, I might sign up, actually. It's actually a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, not if you're going to look at flies, but if you go...
No. Make Rufus sign up. Take him to a chalk stream.
He actually, I know, can you believe this? He's actually the chair of the London Wildlife Trust.
I did see that, actually.
Yes.
On his Twitter.
Because he actually, although he That's why he was very confident about the chalk stream thing, Lucy.
Wow.
Because he really wants to educate himself with... Okay. Because he grew up in London and he really wants to know more about nature. And he's obsessed and he's always taking photos of beetles.
Oh.
Not the real ones. The insects.
Yeah.
I'm very much across nature and that in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you?
Trees.
Okay.
I grew up in the country. Did you know that?
Yeah, you have mentioned it, yes.
So I know the difference between a dandelion and a cowslip, for example. Anyway, yep.
Right, this is from Lydia, who said, I absolutely adored Harriet's report from the Watergrass Festival.
Oh, thanks.
It
took me about 5 hours to put that together.
I live in Perth, Australia, but my parents are in Winchester, so whenever we go home, that's our base. We often trek across to Alsford, so listening to this was like being there. I could almost smell the watercress, even if you couldn't. She says, what do you make of the attached soundbite? This is from my youngest daughter's Fisher Price audio nursery rhyme toy thing. And to me, it sounds suspiciously like Kirsty. Is Annabelle Dowler moonlighting or Harriet? Then she said, thanks for being the archer's friends I don't have. Aww, we will happily be your archer's friends.
Definitely.
Lydia. Right, ready?
Yeah.
So this is the Fisher Price toy.
I think that might be my friend Claire Morgan.
Wow.
Could be Annabelle Dowler. Basically, quite a lot of us have done Fisher Price or those toys.
Really?
Yeah, because it's... there's a company that used to do it. I mean, they probably still do in Reading. And but it's like it's a voice job, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then not paid that well.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot of singing. Yeah, my friend Claire has done many of them. She sort of covered that market. I think Posey is another person who did a lot of them. I expect Annabelle Dowler did a lot of them as well. Yeah. Toy voices. Well, because sort of, you know, cutesy singing, that sort of thing.
Wow.
Maybe that was particularly.
It never crossed my mind that that would be a...
Oh, yeah. It's not an AI, Lucy. That's a real person singing to your kid.
Why are you... Probably is why AI do you now. Keep talking like the woman off the Vicar of Digby?
I had to do this voice for a thing the other day. And it's
really?
I forgot that. Sometimes I forget, Lucy, that I'm actually genuinely from the West Country.
Yeah.
Southwest. So when the other day they were like, oh, it's set in Bristol, I was like, oh my God, brilliant. anyway,
it's funny because Rachel Atkins slips into that voice as well.
Oh, I think it's just a fun voice.
When she's trying to pretend to be really disingenuous about something, when she's covering, you know, when she's mucking around, she does that voice. It really makes me laugh. Terry White says, be careful what you wish for. The Bridge Farm clan prosecute Rob and become the venue for a Fathers for Justice protest. Oh my God.
Oh, that would be quite funny. They do need a Spider-Man on that window, don't they? Superman. Or do you remember when the Fathers... I don't know if they do it anymore, but they dress up as superheroes.
I think they've been replaced by people gluing their hands to the road everywhere, haven't they? Sort of. That's so last year. Spider-Man was like
all
so last year.
All they would need to do is just throw some dusty, eggy water onto that window, and that would be enough of a... For Pat, that would be enough of a... What's the word?
That window must be... It must be the size of an aquarium. I was listening to that.
Wasn't it funny when Harrison was talking through it?
Hello. Use the microphone, Harrison. Stop waving your arms about, your pillock. We can't hear you.
Can it be said through a window? What you've got... Can you say it through... All right. It got off.
I wanted to come round and tell you so I wasn't bellowing it through a bloody window.
But it's very clean. Yeah.
This is highly confidential. Can you hear me? I think that window got as much airplay. It should be getting royalties or something because it's appeared more often than so many of the characters.
If it wasn't the BBC, it would definitely... They'd mention that it was, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lola Plex or something.
So Rob has got to appear through that window.
Yeah, the window is a metaphor for something, or an instrument for something.
Talking about metaphors and instruments, what the bloody hell were the glasses a metaphor for?
Well, when I was a teenager, losing your glasses was a metaphor for losing your virginity. It became a thing with us. It's like, oh yeah, he lost his glasses last night.
And no.
Yeah, I think it started because when one
Are you
of
saying
our friends,
that Jimus has lost his virginity?
Yeah, on the stag.
Crikey.
Yeah, that's my... No, well, I mean, yeah, otherwise, what was it, Lucy? Because you just, as you
a
said...
total waste
you just,
of time?
You just send off for
10 minutes we're never getting back.
Vision Express or...
Yeah.
Or those postal services. Yeah.
Or just go to Boots. They've got a twiddly carousel full of...
I was expecting to hate that, but I tried my best and I enjoyed it, Lucy. I thought it was okay because I thought actually the it was quite charming the way it was done, like a crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then Susan ended up being the perpetrator.
I think your idea of charming is very, very different.
Oh, so is it a bit like Adam being adorable?
It worked.
Just being generous. Yes. I don't know. No, I didn't mind it. I just didn't. Wouldn't it have been better if he'd lost his pants?
I want to know why Alistair didn't have his shirt on.
That was more interesting. Exactly. Oh, don't worry about the shirt. No, I do worry about the shirt. Why? Where is it? Is it on some old dog in Felbersham?
I did like, though.
Is she
I did,
wearing it?
I did like the bit of the photos. He says, I'm not wearing my glasses. No, but I am.
Yeah, I thought they made it quite funny.
Mm.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
Also,
maybe...
who eats half an omelette?
Who did?
Elizabeth. I've made an omelette.
Oh, yeah.
I can't manage all of this. If you need two eggs, right, to make an omelette. If
least,
you think you can only
can you
eat...
Can actually make an omelette with two eggs?
Yeah,
I
just about.
You have six.
If you make an omelette, that's because you're feeding the 5,000 all the time. If you know...
Yes.
If you're not going to be able to eat that, don't make it. Stupid woman.
And I thought it was quite an interesting insight into their domestic life, because I just assumed they'd always have dinner together, seeing as they live together. But clearly, Lizzie obviously doesn't want to eat with her kids, Freddie, the whole time.
At all. Never mind the whole time.
Freddie, stop whining. Just go. It's hard, isn't it, to get sympathy for him, because this is a job. This also, it's really hard to be sympathetic to somebody who's not suddenly going to be given a big stately home and an automatic job and probably some cash in the bank at the same time. It's quite hard to be sympathetic.
Yes,
I think.
Yes,
if thoughts, they don't think he's up for it,
thoughts go out, etc.
Exactly. Yeah. So stop whining and just go, you know what, I'm going to go and, because I'm not going to take over the house, I'll go and do some travelling, or I'll go and get a proper job, or, you know, do something useful, or I'm going to be inspired by that painting and I'm going to look into our history and I'm going to make some reparations or do something worthwhile instead of
just going, I did all this and no one said good boy Freddie.
I set up the ferret stall all by myself.
Yeah.
And I helped Adam put a tomato on the pizza. I mean, he should have been fine.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hired, as you said, for putting the ferret stall. I know Eddie changed the plan, but a ferret stall next to a pizza van.
Oh, they smell so bad.
But, I mean, also just a health and safety no-no, surely.
Yeah.
Oh, good old Eddie. Oh, let him stay there. It'll be fine.
That was a little touch of Vintage Eddie, though, wasn't it?
Also, were there actually live ferrets there, or was it just... oh, yeah, because there was, because it was like a coming straight the ferrets.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
This is Eddie's ferrety fun.
It was selling Clary's knitted ferrets.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, it was a good... Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, it was good.
I thought you'd gone then. You were musing on knitted ferrets.
Knitted ferrets.
Without their trousers. Daniel Millichip, our youth correspondent. Aha! Yes, says, has Oliver learnt the meaning of basic, as in basic bitch, or does he mean uncomplex? Either way, he needs to stop. Daniel, I could not agree more.
No, I disagree. I want him to carry on. In the way that I want Jim to start talking Scottish with Jazza. I want him to start saying him instead of home.
Him.
I took him. I can't remember.
Oh, we had an embody this week as well.
Yeah. I want Jim to start. You know, when you're with somebody and you just sometimes start talking like that because your ear just tunes in. I want Jim to turn into Jazza in the way he speaks. Much more fun.
This is David from Wales, who says... Whoop. Sorry, the microphone's fallen over. Just a quick note to say how much I enjoyed Harriet's report on the Watercress Festival.
Yes!
It reminded me of a Blue Peter special assignment from the 1970s. Who needs Valerie Singleton schlepping round Vienna in slingbacks when we can hear Harriet deliberating about whether to queue for the burger van or decamp to Tesco's for lunch? Joan Bakewell, be afraid. A welcome relief from all things Ambridge. Speaking of which, he says, it's hard to imagine that Stella would not have defined budgetary signing limits as part of her role. Yes, she could also have a case for constructive dismissal. Yes, if Brian gets his salmon pink cords in a twist. Yes, also interesting to note that Ian reached the head of the queue for a complete personality transplant, given his advice to Adam. Not what I would have expected from him. There must be something in the burrata, David.
In the enchiladas.
Mm.
thanks for the watercress, love, guys. I mean, I'd say the content was thin, but I thought the sound effects made up for it.
I loved it.
Thanks, Lucy.
Especially your, you could tell he's the eldest son, saying, I don't want to do it, but if I could, I'd probably be brilliant at it. Yeah, whatever it was. That's such an eldest son.
Yes, it is,
Wouldn't I? Mummy? Just reassure me.
I would definitely win it. Yeah.
Right. Olivia van der Werf, who says, what the actual fuck is the scene between Ardo, Brian and the ferrets? Have I been taking drugs? Also, who makes an omelette that is more than they can manage? Yes, that's all. Keep up the utterly marvellous work. Lovely people, have a lovely weekend. Thank you, Olivia. You too. Quite. Matt Rodriguez Payne, says, after tonight's story of Jim's missing glasses, could we please have another segment on the podcast entitled Who the Fuck Cares What's Going On Here? I'll happily create a sting. That would encompass a lot of the show, though, Matt, wouldn't it? So that's...
I know, but do you know what? The thing about the glasses was, I thought, well, Jazza's not working at the moment, is he? And Jim doesn't work, so good for them for finding something jolly to do. That's what I thought.
Christina Godwin says, sorry, what was that about trees and flies? That's what it's headed. Devoted listener and debut emailer here. First of many, I hope, Christina. But I couldn't not write to say what the actual F-bombs about that utterly bonkers interaction between Harrison and Tracy about trees and then flies and their little hands. I think my main motive is to convince myself I didn't dream it up. I didn't, did I? Why did that bit exist? It surely isn't a build-up to a big tree-hugging awakening for harassment. Were they on drugs? Am I on drugs? All the best and thanks for easing my Sunday night blues every week. Yes, Christina, if only we knew. We'd no idea.
How do they walk up windows? Yeah.
Where do they live?
It was like,
Thank God we don't have armed police in this country. Can you imagine harassment with a gun? God.
Especially after apparently he was having a stressful week. He didn't sound that stressed, did he?
No.
A
stressful week means he forgot his packed lunch on Thursday. That's all it was.
Well, so he's still got time to take some dishes round to the pub.
Oh,
and
yes.
stop for a sandwich.
Yes. Part-timer. Robin Winning says, you have my permission to clean this up. I am going to have to clean it up, Robin. Oh. To shag, marry, avoid, if necessary, or skip it all together. But since I'm off Twitter, I don't know who else to share it with. So shag, marry, avoid, Adam, Stella, Brian edition. Shag, Stella, marry, Stella, kill, Brian and Adam. That's how it works, she says. Yes, that's how it works, right? Yes, it does.
Yes.
Now, Becky Sheaves, you know people dreaming about the Archers?
Yeah.
She did.
Good.
She said she dreamt she was driving, listening to an episode in which rabid Rob had been spotted approaching Helen and Jack in their home. She persuaded her husband to drive to Ambridge to rescue them. When they got there, they crept into the house, which was all deserted and set up like a crime scene, including what looked like two bodies covered in blankets in the bedroom. It was very scary and convincing. Wow. Then she found out it was the Archer's producers had branched out with an immersive episode. She woke up completely convinced it had really happened. And she had to calm herself down by reminding herself that logically lots of people had gone to rescue Helen, not just her and her husband. And then she remembered that Ambridge isn't a real place.
That's actually a brilliant idea, though, well, to do an Archer's immersive episode.
She said, why don't they do that? What about setting up Archer's land like Harry Potter world? You could have stage sets and see the mess in Ruth's kitchen and Ben's B&B bedroom, Joy and Mick in the hot tub, pick tomatoes in the edible forest garden, drink in the bull. I really think it would be a huge success, don't you? Or I possibly need to get out more. That's Becky from Cuckoo Down Farm.
Well, the, you know, the Archers were at the Hay Festival
yes.
this week. Did you see that?
Well, someone said, I've never seen so much linen in one place.
Have you ever been to Hay?
No.
Do you think we should do like a trip there?
Yes.
I think it's up our street,
I think
street,
it's my
it?
Natural home, really.
I think it is your natural home. Isn't it near Wales?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for you.
Can we do it when I've moved to Wales and then it won't be such a long journey?
Yes, that's a good idea. And I'll stay with you and then we'll make a package.
Okay.
A hay package.
Yes, a package of hay. A bale.
bale.
This is about Scottish food for weddings from Elizabeth Taylor. Not that Elizabeth Taylor. I've been to quite, because we were being scathing. Scathing
about
we were.
The Scottish
yes,
foods.
About wedding reception food.
Oh yeah, Scottish. Oh yeah, we were.
She said, I have been to quite a few wedding receptions where stovies have been served later in the evening. And I have to say that after several rounds of the Dashing White Sergeant, a couple of Gay Gordons and an Apesome Reel, a guest is well in need of a plate of stovies. They are mostly made with potatoes, onions and leftover roast beef from the Sunday joint or whatever scraps of meat, including sausages or vegetables you may have. Delicious! Stornoway black pudding is a gourmet delight. As for clootie dumpling, it's real comfort food, a rich fruit cake boiled in a clout, which is a cloth, for several hours and can be cut up and eaten plain or with butter like a cake or fried if you like. I have never heard of the stuffed fish head. I think Jazza was winding us up. Your podcast has kept me sane during some very dark times. Thanks, Liz Taylor.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening, Liz.
And I'm sorry you had the dark times, Liz Taylor.
But
you've now...
A bit of Dashing White Sergeant is, I mean, I would prescribe that in the way that Tracy would prescribe Watching Flies to sort of like, you know, cheer you up.
Yes.
I love a Kaylee.
I think you're so right. I am not married. I have never been married. But if I had, and I'm not very keen on weddings, but if I had a wedding...
Oh, go on, have one, please. Please, if you marry Jeff. Go on, please. Oh, just
stop it.
We can make a part of the podcast. You could put it on expenses.
I'm not getting married just so that you can do a package for the podcast. It's ridiculous.
Really? I'll do a Jeff package. No. I'll do a package on Jeff's... No. not be silly. Sorry, what were you saying?
I am...
You'd have a Kaylee.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, yes.
None of that awful wedding DJ, everyone shuffling around and aunties dancing with... little children, just a proper everybody whirling around laughing. Fabulous.
Oh, I'd love it too. Well, I really wanted, when I got married to Rufus, I wanted to have a barn dance.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of place I'm from.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't part of the Wildlife Trust in those days, Lucy, he absolutely vetoed it with a massive V. sign.
Oh, really?
He hates all that stuff. But I love yeah, barn dance is basically a Kaylee. But anything with one of those, and because I used to live in Edinburgh, I Kaylee'd a lot.
Right.
And it is so fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're whirling, you are just whirling.
I'm terrible at it because I don't know left from right, and you know,
if anybody,
I couldn't even do bloody Zumba. So you, the chance of me
no,
being
but that's the beauty of a Kaylee, because that's and barn dances and all sorts of things like that. You don't need to know the dances because you pick them up so quickly.
Well, you do. I don't. But anyway, I still love it, even if I'm shit at it.
I wanted to go to. Have you ever been to Towersy Festival?
No.
That's really good fun, and they often have sort of, you know, barn dances or Kaylee type stuff, and that's always good. But if anybody is hosting a Kaylee and wants us to come along, absolutely, thanks. Yeah, I'll speak to yes immediately.
You've got the hang of this outside broadcast, haven't you? Or
we'll
broadcasting outsides, as Fabrice calls it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you hear, you know, like I realise actually, because all you need to do is just record stuff on your iPhone and then piece it together and it sounds all right.
Yeah.
And that's all they do on the radio.
I know.
I mean,
it's just a load of people wandering around with iPhones.
My friend who's a radio producer, he's been making a show for Radio 4 for about a year.
Right.
I knocked out my packaging about an hour and a half, Lucy. I mean, just, you know, record a bit of stuff, put it all together. It's content.
Yes.
However shit it is, it's still content.
Still counts.
Anyway, yes, please, to the Kaylee. Thanks to our hosts.
Okay. Our prospective host. This is from Ed Price, who said, husband and I had an us break in Hastings last weekend.
Ooh,
desperately
nice.
Trying to have some time to ourselves before the imminent adoption of two children in the next month or so.
Ooh! Oh my God! That's
fingers
so
crossed
exciting.
There'll be two new fans of the Archers and Ambridge on the couch.
Oh,
of course they
God.
Will!
Please
better,
keep
Ed,
us posted.
We'll
That's
be having
so
a word.
Exciting.
The bedroom of our Airbnb had a whole host of old books in it. One of them was The Book of the Archers, written by some of the cast. Given I only started listening to The Archers around the time Chris and Alice got married in Vegas, a lot of the characters in the 80s were completely new to me. And the book goes into a lot of detail, he says. Poor Lillian didn't get a great write-up and mainly concluded she was living unhappily in Guernsey. I'm glad she didn't stay there. Borsuch's gin industry would have folded long ago if she hadn't returned. But I did recognise a young Susie Riddell playing Kate Aldridge. I think I'd known she'd played her in her younger years, but raised a smile to see it in print. love everything you do and for making me laugh. On the way back from Hastings to Margate, we were stuck at a standstill behind a traffic accident on the M25 for over 2 hours. So the latest
God.
Episode came in handy for me to keep me sane / insane. P.S. There was also a book about the Antiques Roadshow. I did not read that, honest, he says. He sent me pictures. So it was written by Patricia Green, who plays Jill.
Oh, right.
Charles Collingwood, who plays Brian. And Heidi Hedley Nicklaus,
oh,
who
yes.
plays...
Kathy.
And there is a picture of Catherine Victoria Aldridge, played by Susie Riddell.
Wow.
She...
Is it like a who's who, then?
She looks absolutely extraordinary. I'll send it. Stonewashed denim jacket. Big dangly earrings.
I've seen that picture.
Quite sulky.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I want to stay in that Airbnb. That sounds like my cup of tea, that Airbnb.
I will tweet it so you can see the pictures.
Yes, please.
Right. Now, do you remember the last week, what the hell was happening here? And you said, well, we know what's happening here.
Yeah.
Because it was nookie-nookie.
Although I've already forgotten.
Okay. It was... that James says the cameras were put up to try and spot Linda's beast, which she claimed to see. Do you remember the beast of Borsetshire? It was when people were seeing the beast of Bodmin Moor everywhere,
the
and
cameras.
It was all in the
yeah.
Instead, they found Will and Nick. They were trying for a baby, which would one day become Poppy.
Oh right.
So we sort of inadvertently were in on the conception of Poppy, which is slightly odd. Anyway, so this is this week's What the Hell is Happening Here? You ready?
Yeah.
What the L is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
Hats.
Hats.
I'll just do it live because I've got to send some more stuff to Matt, but why don't I just do it live, Matt? I'll just sing along as the characters.
right, so this is this week's. Ready?
Yeah.
Mia, stop pushing. pushing. You're squashing me. Aww. Stop it, Jake.
Shh, she's coming.
Shh. Surprise!
Yes, you certainly did that. What have you got on?
Our swimming costumes.
So I see. And your buckets and spades.
This way, Grandma. Oh,
what's going on?
Come and see.
Oh, George, you're not playing pirates again, are you, and kidnapping me? Because I don't think I want to be kidnapped today.
So cute.
I remember that.
Do you?
Oh. Me and your grandpa's only just finished paying the ransom from last time and I ain't made no more of they biscuits, you know.
Not a kidnap.
Phew.
You'll see.
I ain't made no more of those biscuits.
I remember that.
Do you? That is so cute. I don't remember kids ever being in the Archers. You can tell, can't you, that they always record the kids separately.
Yeah.
Oh, it just sounds like you're...
Yeah. I don't remember that. I got no idea what that is, except that it's Mia and Jake taking Granny somewhere. Or not Granny, but Clary somewhere.
Yes. Well, I don't think that's going to come as a surprise to anybody, bearing in mind it was Mia and Jake taking
their
Granny
somewhere.
Bearing
in mind, she went, Mia, Jake.
Shush, Jake. Stop pushing Mia. So you have no idea?
No idea.
I know. So I'm feeling all smuggy, smuggy, smug. Who else knows?
I don't remember Mia and Jake being kiddie characters at all. Do you? Well, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Just told me I do.
Wow. Mm. I got no idea.
Okay.
So do the listeners write in?
Yes.
P.O. Box.
Ambridge on the Couch. BBC Television Centre, London, W18. No, don't. AmbridgeOnTheCouch@gmail.com with your answers. Thank you.
But is it, where are they taking her? Is there a body
what was
in
happening.
The lake? Okay, what is happening? Yes, of course, that's the name of the...
Yes, the slot. Yes.
Feature, yeah, yes. Okay.
You've just sung it, for crying out loud.
Yes, I forgot. As Clary. You know?
As Clary.
Was that old Clary or new Clary? I can't tell.
That was new.
Okay.
Because the old one didn't say they turkeys.
No, okay.
Because there was
them. She might have said them turkeys.
First and third Clary were the same actress, and the middle one wasn't.
Oh, is the third Clary the original Clary?
Yeah, she came back.
What did she go away for?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. And also, you know, Ed said about Lillian being in Guernsey.
Yeah.
Was Lillian in it for a while and then she left for a long time and then
yes.
she came back?
Yeah.
And was it the same actress who came? Was it Sunny?
No,
who played?
Oh, I don't okay. think so, no. I don't know, actually,
okay.
but I don't
There's
think so.
So much we don't know.
I know.
That's the beauty of it being 74 years old or something.
Who was it I was talking to the other day? And they said, I've never listened to the Archers. Do you think I should start?
Hmm.
And it was, oh, I know, I remember. I was out with some friends and some friends of theirs had come along who I didn't know. And my friend was talking about the podcast and this woman said, oh, I think I should, but I don't know where to start. And I said, what the advice we always give, which is don't try. And she said, is there some way I could catch up? it's a hell of a catch up. I said, just start. And if yes. a storyline grabs you, then go with it. Just hope to God it's not about Jim's glasses.
Friend.
No. But it is.
But that might be also because culturally it's very different from
yes.
life in New York.
Yes. Yeah. Could it be any more different, really?
As a young writer in New York, it's a bit different, I think.
But is he on strike? Is he doing the strike?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I only see him at sessions.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there a big strike going on at the moment then?
There's the writers striking.
Do you remember when there was that big strike when it was Ally McBeal and all that?
Yeah.
When there was no Netflix, but there was E4 and that had all the shows.
Yeah.
It? Only E4 had all the American shows. And then there was, and my friend Charity, who's a very successful actress, but she was just becoming successful and she'd got this, it was like her big breakthrough because it was the writers of Ally McBeal and they'd done a new, I think a spin-off actually, and she was going to play the main part and it was all going ahead.
Oh no.
And then there was the writer's strike and it just all fell
through. Oh, so sad. God.
Well, she's done really well though anyway. So
it's quite nice to see actually some of the personalities like Jimmy Fallon and all those people who are continuing to pay their writers even while they're on strike.
Too bloody right.
Because they know that they couldn't do it without the writers.
No, exactly. And
you know, but it's yeah. They don't want to do it, but I can completely see why they have. Anyway. Yeah. And now we cross over to Ambridge, where somebody played by me is driving around. Anyway, I'll just shut up and just play it.
Good. Yep.
Okay, just set the sat nav. Location: Penny Hassett. Destination: Ambridge Hall, via the bypass. Oh, I've got a choice of voices. Look, who shall I have? Febreze of Felpersham. Let's use a local.
Thank you for choosing me, Febreze of Felpersham. Looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have.
Get on with it. Right or left?
Let's drive carefully. Is our air brushed and eyeliner done?
No. Right or left?
Is bra done up on correct oak? Remember, clunk click every trip.
That's a bit personal. I just want to know if I'm going right or left.
In 100 metre, turn left.
Thank you.
No, not here. That is not 100 metre.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now! Oh, you missed it. Never mind. Do a U-turn. Be aware, there may be people lying in road with suitcases.
What?
Continue straight for 1 mile. Look out of the window on left. There are some cow. Beware of road up ahead, as cow might be crossing with roof behind on a quad bike, shouting, "Go on!" Continue on. Be careful, you are going a bit quick. Linda sometimes stand there with a stopwatch if she is very bored. Then she get harassment to write you out pretend ticket from his McDonald's Happy Meal notepad. Emergency! Break! There is Natasha, and her shoes are a maze. I think they are this season Ferragamo.
For God's sake! Oh, actually, they are really nice.
I know! That little block eel. Please remind me where we are going.
Ambridge Hall. How can you forget?
I think you said the chicken factory. Is that correct? Say yes after the beep.
No, Ambridge Hall.
I think you said Lower Loxley. Is that correct? Say yes after the beep.
No, Ambridge Hall.
Do not shout. If you are shout, I am leaving you with abandon.
You already have. I don't know where I am and you don't either. I'm switching to another voice. One who sounds competent. Ways, voices. Here we go. Jimus Lloyd. Nope, he only seems to cover ancient Rome. Eddie Grundy. Now you have to pay him. Rob Titchener. He sounds all right. Okay, destination, Ambridge Hall. Go.
You think you know where you're going, but you don't. I do. Go to Bridge Farm. Go there now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Thank you, Febreze, and me.
What the hell has happened there? Done you. I look forward to hearing that.
Oh, don't. Just fast forward to it. right. We're done.
Okay.
We're done, lady.
And now we cross over to our roving report. Oh, no, that was last week. Yeah. I would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who sponsored me. I am doing a sit. No, that was last week.
Yes. Yes, I have not updated the script.
I'm looking at last week's scriptio. So it's just the finish.
Do you remember a film called The Piano?
Oh, yes. It was amazing.
Matt has reworked The Piano to fit in with The Archers.
Oh,
and it's actually very, very lovely.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear this.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
beautiful. Wow. Blimey, that's such a... like, how do you even get that idea? How
I do? Don't know.
What makes you go, oh, I know, I'll do the piano and the archers.
I think Matt, we had a little chat this week in which he said that he'd finally got his builders and was very, very excited, and then they hadn't turned up. So I think he uses us to kind of take his mind off the infuriatingness of builders.
His keys were being played quite hard.
Yeah.
They?
He was banging them with his head. That's why.
Oh, that was stunning, Matt.
It
Thank
was.
You. Matt needs to keep an eye on the old post, FYI.
Oh. Keep an eye on the post.
Something coming his way.
Matt. You wanted to say thank you to somebody, didn't you?
Oh, I wanted to say thank you to Sophie from the Watercress Festival, who sadly, I didn't manage to meet up with Sophie or anyone.
She said she thought there were 20,000 people there.
I know, I'm not, I can well believe it. I think there was more. But that's why we didn't manage, meet up with anyone, to be fair. There's so many people.
It was like saying, I'll meet you at the corner of the Notting Hill Carnival, you know?
Exactly. When I was all blasé, like, hey guys, if you're coming to the festival, like, text me. Like, message me on Twitter and, like, we'll just meet at the church. And A, there was no 3G signal or any G signal. And there were so many people. I think Sophie was, like, running around like a headless chicken. But anyway, thank you. Sorry, Sophie. I just wanted to say thank you for inspiring us to go.
Yes.
And for all your lovely messages.
So yes.
Big thanks.
Thanks.
And yeah, we're definitely going next week. Next, no, not when I would have
next, next week. Is it a weekly thing? Bloody hell. Alsford must be an economic cultural capital.
They're keeping the country going.
Thank God something is.
They're a FTSE 100 company.
Watercress linked.
Actually, I don't know if this is right, but I was on the train coming back from London towards Salisbury. So I guess when I was going past Basingstoke, I'm sure I looked out the window and saw some watercress fields. But would that be right on the train line going to Salisbury? I mean, I'm guessing I sort of passed Winchester and that area. So was that watercress I saw out the window? It was water with green stuff in it.
Right.
In a field. In fields. Among okay. fields, there was like water with green stuff in it and some tractors or ploughs or whatever they, drills or whatever they, or I don't know what they are.
It sounds machines. Like. Was it sounds nudist like it was. Drills?
Yes, there was a big nudist drill with a nudist person on it drilling. Oh no, sorry, that was just a dream.
Just quickly before we go, what's your prediction for next week is that Adam is going to come clean.
Yes.
And it will be redemption Adam.
Well, I don't know, because I suppose the storyline is heading in the direction of he wants to take over the farm. Mm. But then we don't want Stella to disappear, do we?
No.
And she's too good to lose. So,
yes.
Because I said to you, oh my God, maybe she's got a big TV gig. Which she likely has, because she's so talented.
Yeah.
And she is on, I reckon, 1 in 4 ads I see in a commercial break. It is Lucy Speed. And quite rightly.
Yeah.
Because she's so authentic.
Yeah.
But you said she's not leaving.
I don't think she is.
So there's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fight. And who's... who are we putting our money on to win? Stella.
Lucy Speed. Yes, yeah. Stella, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Stella for star. And who's going to win BGT on Sunday night, Lucy?
No? Simon Cowell.
Yes.
Okay. I get it right.
I was at the BGT last night. It was brilliant. It's really good. I love.
Are you going to be on the television then?
No. Oh. Well, if we were...
Well, you said that you were doing all the leaping up and down and clapping and...
I know, woo-wee. I was trying so hard. And I said to Eliza, if you like whoop and are really loud, the camera might pick you up, but they just didn't.
Oh.
Fair enough. But we were really close to Anton Deck.
Ooh.
Like, I could have reached out and touched his cheek.
You could have reached out and throttled him.
I would never do that because I love them so much. I could almost smell their sweat.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was great. It was so fun. Mm. I love, if you ever get the chance to, well, probably lots of you have, but going to a live TV show, being in the audience, is so fun, I think. Don't you? It's like, it's such an incredible achievement, the making of a big show like that, but live.
Yeah.
You know, you just look around and everyone's looking really stressed, except the people in the audience who are having a brilliant time. But it must be so stressful, wouldn't it? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just incredible how they make it stay on time. Yeah. And yeah.
No wonder they're all mad.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we've had this conversation before the podcast, Lucy, and you know, my opinions waver, because you're like, you would go mad if you were how could you not go mad if you worked under that pressure every day for 40 years or whatever? How could you not go mad and do stupid things? But anyway, and your, how could your ego not be so inflated? Because if you're good at that, if you can do that job, live telly, and you're good at it, there's only a few people who are amazing at it, to be fair. That's a hard job.
Charlie Brooker did a really, really good piece about that. He talked about it. He talked about how quickly the the lure of celebrity sort of grabs you in.
Right.
And he said, like, the first day he turned up to do his show, someone said, "Can I get you a coffee?" And he said, "Oh, no, I've bought one. It's fine. But thank you." And they said, "Oh, okay, well, just let me know if you need anything else." So the next day he thought, right, well, I won't get myself a coffee then. So he turned up and this woman came rustling over and said, "Would you like a coffee?" And he said, "Oh, yes, please. You know, can I have sugar?" And she went off and got that and brought him a croissant, said, "I wasn't sure if you wanted almond or plain, so I got you both," and all this. And by the end of the week, he was shouting, "Where's my bloody coffee?" when he arrived. And he said, that's how quickly it happens.
Because
there's a whole industry, there's a whole retinue of people whose jobs depend on you being nurtured and looked after and, you know, everything else. And it's, you have to be
and
a very, very strong...
fantastic and sounding fantastic. Yeah. And being a star.
You have to be a very strong personality to resist that. And I think a lot of people aren't.
They're always stroked.
Did you hear that knocking just
then? Is
that
Cooper?
That was the dog knocking on the door.
Saying, "It's time, ladies, it's time." Well, he is our executive director.
I have literally taught him how to knock on the door, which is really stupid thing to do because now he does it all the time. Well, anyway, it's not my problem. It'll be the Everett soon. Anyway, let's go out with the piano.
Yay.
And thank you very much for listening, everybody, and see you next week.
Yay, bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.